Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God the Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's happened to all of us at one time or another, hasn't it? We've received an invitation to some sort of celebration, perhaps a wedding or reunion, and then at the very last moment, we haven't felt very much like going. Now, most of the time, we make it anyway, only to enjoy ourselves, but on some occasions, a last-minute excuse presents itself, giving us the opportunity to bow out. Invariably, when this happens, someone shows up the next day to fill us with guilt by telling us how we missed the time of our lives. In this morning's gospel, Jesus tells a parable about a celebration to end all celebrations, a feast at the heavenly banquet table. This telling was prompted by a more ordinary meal at which Jesus, as distinguished guest, taught that he was Lord of the Sabbath and that in God's kingdom, human order is reversed, so that the first are last and the last first. So scandalous was this teaching to his listeners that for their sake, Jesus provided another advanced warning that this group was in danger in missing out on that great banquet, that great eternal celebration. And this by telling that banquet parable that is before us today. You see, for those teachers of Israel, God's word had become like the seed of another parable, namely the seed that fell among the thorns. As you may recall, these thorns represent the cares, riches, and pleasures of life that rob so many people of the Christian faith before that faith has a chance to bear fruit in them. Further still, these thorns, that is to say, cares, riches, and pleasures of life, are always a danger for people. This is especially so for those of us who live in a culture that upholds selfish interests, calling them virtues, so much so that sometimes even seemingly selfless acts can be done to one's damnation. Don't believe it? Then how easy is it for a seminarian or pastor to neglect their duty as husband and father by saying, "I've got homework, a test tomorrow, a paper due, there's a sermon to write, meeting to attend, all those who are hospitalized." And so in our heart of hearts, God knows what we are doing and what we are thinking, and whether or not it is so vile that we would refuse these joyous tasks he's prepared for us by using our other vocations as an excuse. No one is exempt from these temptations. You can all easily imagine how they come in your life. No one at all is exempt from the temptation to attend to other things while making self-righteous excuses. For in Christ, all are invited to the feast, so that in the end, all are exposed for who they are: ungrateful sinners, sinners who deserve to die. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Yes, victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For you see, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, or as Jesus said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." In God's kingdom, all human order is reversed. Therefore, in this morning's parable, Those servants sent out to search the highways and hedges are an extension of God's right hand. For of them the Savior says, he who hears you hears me. Yes, indeed, the voice of Christ Jesus has reached our ears this day to invite us, and even more through the Spirit, to compel us to come, eat of the feast. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. I am the bread of life, the Savior says. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. When the bell rang this morning announcing the start of this divine service, it called us sinners from highway and hedge, that is to say, classroom, workplace, and home. Yes, the bell rang as a divine invitation for us to walk right past that milestone where we were welcomed as a part of God's kingdom. This milestone is none other than the baptismal font, a place where we may pause to remember the Lord's goodness to us in that initiatory act. It's no coincidence that God's service to us begins there at the font, where our appetites are whetted with the forgiveness that Jesus earned so long ago on the cross. Course after course, the banquet unfolds. Hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. The word read, the word preached, the word received. By the Spirit's work, our eyes are opened so that we might see that we have come this day to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven, to God the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous ones made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Yes, indeed, by the Spirit's work, we have this day a foretaste of the heavenly feast to come. In his mercy and love, the Lord God has made sure that there is always more room at this banquet table, always enough bread, always enough wine that has flowed freely from our Savior's side. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Blessed are they who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Yes, today, by God's grace in Christ, blessed are we. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, strengthen and keep you in your hearts and minds. Amen.